I'm Vicky Merrick. The Local Food Report's up now with Elspeth Hay. We've been talking recently about pollinators, and specifically honeybees, why we need them, what challenges they face, and what local beekeepers and farmers and citizens can do to help. Here's Elspeth.
Around 2006, beekeepers and scientists started talking about something called colony collapse disorder, or CCD. CCD at the time was a new phenomenon. Suddenly, whole hives of worker bees started disappearing, leaving behind a queen, plenty of food, and a few nurse bees. Ever since, scientists have been trying to figure out why. Larry Dapsis is entomologist for the Cape Cod Cooperative Extension. That's a county resource for local farmers. He says honeybee health is tied to a whole slew of factors.
If you're looking for a smoking gun, there's about 6 smoking guns out there. We've lost a lot of habitat. Travel, nutrition, queen genetics, certainly pesticides, and pathogens and predators.
It's a lot to cover. Let's start with habitat loss.
If you consider back 30, 40 years ago, there was a lot more open farmland and meadows and things that just favored them. We've converted it to house lots, so we've taken away a lot of their natural forage and habitat.
Next up is travel. And when Larry says travel, he's not talking about bees flying out from a standing hive. He's talking about commercial beekeeping operations that take their hives from farm to pollinate crops.
You know, you're put on a tractor trailer, you're driven hundreds or maybe even 1,000 miles, so you're being jostled the whole way, you're in the dark, you can't, go anywhere. You get to these places, you're in the field instantly, and as soon as it looks like the show is wrapping up, the hives go back on the truck, probably leaves a lot of bees in the field, because the beekeepers just, they're on the move. They're moving quickly.
This ties into the nutrition issue. Worker bees only live about 5 to 7 weeks. Most of the large commercial farms these bees visit grow monoculture, which means the bees are pollinating only one crop at each stop. And to supplement, they're often fed sugar syrup. Like humans, bees need diversity in their diets, so this setup isn't ideal. And what about the queen genetics? What kind of role does that play?
It's a narrow base, so if the narrower your genetic base of breeding stock is, it makes things more susceptible to, disease pressure and things like that.
Some local beekeepers are working to breed their own queens. Queens that are genetically diverse and so are stronger and more resistant to local predators and pathogens. Still, one of the major challenges for local honeybee hives comes from a tiny parasite.
Bromite is a big, big issue, and it's linked to these cataclysmic collapses of honeybees, both the commercial and the hobbyists. It's not a pathogen. It's actually a mite, Varroa mite. It's kind of like a little tick that feeds on bees, so it weakens them and makes them more susceptible.
Last up is also possibly the most complicated, pesticides.
The majority of pesticides that are used are in the class called synthetic pyrethroids, so things like permethrin and bifenthrin, and they're widely used in agriculture and even for homeowners. It's cleaner management with those because we know they're outright directly toxic as a wet spray to bees. So we advise people you never spray anything during bloom. But once the residue's dried, it's a lot less toxic. So pyrethroids, and the thing from my standpoint is they're very water insoluble. So the risk of going to groundwater is basically nil. Now with the neonics.
Neonics are short for neonicotinoids, a highly controversial category of pesticides. Unlike synthetic pyrethroids, neonic insecticides become systemic in plants, meaning they're taken up into the vascular system and can be found in all its tissues. They can also accumulate in soil and get into groundwater.
Some of the data that has been generated shows that it impacts cognitive abilities of bees, their ability to learn. And if you think like a bee has to learn, where the forage is, and when they come back to the hive to tell their sisters. And so if you have chemical exposure that interferes with those processes, that's not a good thing.
All of these stresses pile up. It's a long list. Habitat, travel, nutrition, queen genetics, pesticides, pathogens, and predators, the sheer number and variety of these issues are overwhelming. But the list also sounds familiar. It has a lot of common ground with human challenges. Honeybees and humans have a long, intertwined history. Understanding our common challenges may offer opportunities to envision a healthier future for both species. For WCAI's Local Food Report, I'm Elspeth Hay.
You might want a transcript of this piece, which we've got online, along with some links to more information, as well as links to other shows in our Honeybee and Local Pollinator series, right on our website, capeandislands.org. This Local Food Report was edited by me, Vicki Merrick, and produced by Atlantic Public Media in Woods Hole. Thanks for listening.